It is your Network of Praise, a Thursday. And yes, once again, Carlene is at the Warrior Leadership Summit. Carlene, how are things going?
Oh, I have been dying to talk to you guys ever since Tuesday night. I have a story to share that is just really, really cool. As we last talked on Tuesday, I had mentioned that tonight's the big night when they give the gospel presentation, and they want to do it early in the week because they're hoping a lot of their afternoon breakout sessions will help develop and disciple new lives that have turned their lives over to Christ, and that whole unique aspect. So I asked for you guys to be praying, and boy, did God show up. So let me try to paint the picture a little bit of what happened that evening. A normal main session in the evening, and then Ron gets up to give a message, and I was pretty excited to hear this part because this is his passion. This is what he lives for, and I became convinced by the end of the night that Ron Hutchcraft is one of those servants and friends of Jesus that will proclaim him and the power of the cross until his dying breath. I am almost positive the man does not believe in retirement from the Christian life, and may it be so with all of us, but he gave this incredible message. Basically telling the warriors here, he listed five things, and I can't remember the fifth item, but he said, if you want to know what it's like to be forgiven, clean, loved, and safe, and then he started to present how coming to Jesus could take care of all of that for you, no matter what you've done or no matter what has been done to you. He's wrapping up his message, and this is where is just one of those incredibly holy moments. He launched into a news story that happened several years ago. Some people might remember this, but it was an event that took place in Russia. It was the Beslan School siege that happened on September 1st of 2004. He basically said this became their September 11th. What happened was an Islamic terrorist took over a school for 3 days, and it ended up being a horrific massacre. They started by killing all the male teachers. They kept the women and children inside without food or water for 3 days. Many of them died from dehydration and those kinds of issues. And the terrorists, they all had bombs and that were tied to them, so suicide bomber situation. And basically forces came in from the outside after 3 days just trying to liberate everybody, and it just ended up being a horrible mess. In the middle of all of that tragedy, there was one little girl named Victoria, and she had a cross necklace that she was wearing, and she was afraid the chain on the necklace was going to break somehow, so she took it off, and she held it in her hand. And there was a picture that was taken of her after this was all over, and they were trying to rescue people from inside, and she did get shot, and she survived. But the iconic picture that happened was of her hand that was very bloodied, slightly open in a loose fist, with the cross still inside her hand. And her famous quote was, "I knew as long as I held onto the cross, I'd be okay." And then came this incredibly moving moment when Ron looked out at the sea of faces in front of him and said, "The same is true for you. If you just hold on to the cross, you'll be fine." And then he continued to build up to the moment where he asked them to make that first public stand for Jesus Christ. And he said, "I'm going to just bow my head and pray for a moment, and this is the time. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you need to get up from your seat and come forward now." And to again paint the visual picture, Ron is standing on this big stage that's elevated, I don't know, like a foot or two off the ground, a couple steps leading up to the stage. And there's a cross to his left, on the left side of the stage. And he kept talking about coming to the cross and the power of the cross through this message. And in this incredibly stirring moment, you could hear the first few people start to get up out of their seats. And they walked up onto the stage, surrounded the cross, stood behind Ron. And everything that they told us when we had our Day of Hope this spring was true. It was so fast. It was literally probably 60 seconds. And he kind of gave one more, if you're hesitating but you still want to do this, there's still time, but we're not going to wait for long, so come now. And a few more came. And then he had them all ushered out to another building across the walkway, which is called the counseling room. And there, some of the On Eagle's Wings team warriors that are getting ready to leave next week for their Summer of Hope tour, this became their very first converts, basically, so to speak, that they got to counsel with and talk through this to make sure that they understood the decision they were making, and to pray with them and just be a listening ear. That all happened. Now, in that moment when Ron is giving that invitation, it was the loudest holy stillness I've ever heard. It was just incredible to even try to describe the atmosphere. To say you could have heard a pin drop is an understatement for sure. But to see these kids come out of their chairs, come up front, was just really special. I didn't think that we would be, me and then another radio station team that was here, I thought that that was it as far as what we would get to observe. But they actually gave us permission to go into the counseling room. We had to be very quiet and very respectful because, of course, a lot of these kids are very raw and tender in this moment because their need is coming up and coming out, and they're realizing and recognizing that they need a savior. And so we all stood against a long wall in this room where there's chairs that are set in circles, and there's one Eagles Wings team warrior leader that is there, and they each had about two or three kids around them. So there's all these mini circles and huddles of conversations going on, and again, a very sweet presence of God in the atmosphere. And Ron came up to me and the other radio team, and he looked a little dazed, and he looked like he was trying to find the right words. And he said, "I want you guys to know that in all my years of doing this and all the invitations I've given, they have never come up on the stage and joined me and the cross. They usually just come forward to the edge of the stage on the floor, or they might bow there or whatever." But he just kept saying over and over again, "This has never happened. This has never happened." And seemed to find it so significant because, again, this is very hard in Indian culture to accept Jesus, especially in front of your peers. And so not only did they all come up on stage, but they turned around and faced their peers, and they're under these bright spotlights. I mean, there was no hiding this decision. It was bold, it was beautiful, and Jesus was definitely in the moment. It was incredible. The really beautiful thing that I get to share with you on top of all of that is that one of our own from Montana, from either the Hardin or the Hayes area, I'm not quite sure, but there's about 10 of them here from Montana. One of them gave her life to Jesus that night. So one of our own belongs to Jesus, which is incredibly special. I was asking Ron afterwards, just kind of some of his thoughts, and he said, "You know, the older I get, the more this means to me." He said, "My heart is more tender for this than ever before." And again, you could just see the passion on his face to get every single lost life to Jesus as long as he possibly can. That's kind of it in a nutshell as far as what that night was like. Words really do not do it justice, but I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea of the atmosphere and what was taking place. And just to hear from Ron himself, I thought would be helpful for our audience. And so we have a little recording. We just asked him for some of what was on his heart as he was describing what happened that night. And this is just, you know, moments after this has happened, we were in the counseling room, and here's his thoughts on what he had to say.
This is holy ground, and we have lived some truly holy moments tonight. The theme of the conference is transformed. When we ask in the audience tonight an event that changed your life, because I was leading up to talking about the event that's changed more lives than any other for 2,000 years, as we took them to the cross tonight. It's all about the cross tonight. So the response is in response to the love poured out there and blood poured out there for them. And one of the first to speak up was a young lady that I talked to the last night last year here at Warrior Leadership Summit. And she told me that she was ready to kill herself when she got home. Her mother had made her feel like she was trash and shouldn't have been born her whole life. And last night she said, I only came to come with my little cousin one last time. And I was going to go home and kill myself. Instead, she gave her life to Jesus. And I wondered all year what's happened with her. And this precious Apache young woman spoke up tonight about how she was transformed by Jesus beginning here. I think that was critical in helping some other young men and women think about that. Because suicide is such a common choice among Native young people. So the message tonight was about people who were transformed by what happened on Skull Hill and how they could be transformed by it. Remind you that this is from a people group that believe Jesus is the white man's God. It's not common for them to choose Christ privately, let alone publicly. But I extended an invitation to them to give themselves publicly to the man who died publicly on the cross for them. And I bowed my head and prayed. And each year there are some who will make that commitment, and we have a cross up on the platform, and they will come and kneel down on the floor in front of it or stand in front of it. Something happened this year. My eyes were closed. I don't know what's going on. I'm praying. And literally in about 1 minute's time, there was no begging, no pleading, no emotional music. I just hear all these feet. And I looked up and I'm surrounded by people on the stage. I'm going, what just happened, God? This is new. And they were so serious about wanting Jesus. They were standing up on the stage facing this entire crowd of their peers, standing in the spotlight, the bright lights on the stage. I was stunned. I just didn't know what to do. It was breathtaking. And there were a lot of them. There were a lot of them. I've been in the counseling room, which I now call the maternity ward. This is actually a delivery room we are in right now. And the obstetricians were the On Eagle's Wings warriors leading their first people to Christ of the Summer of Hope. And one thing that's significant is they were here a long time. There was no rushing to fill out a commitment card. No. They take their time to make sure everybody understands what Jesus did for them. They don't assume that they heard it or got it from the platform. And they do everything they can to confirm that that was a real commitment. So I get to talk to some of them as they're leaving. I can't begin to talk to all of them. I realize some of the great work that God had done. The young man whose father hung himself when he was just 9 years old, he said, I never really knew my dad. This young man's almost died 5 times. He's very young. And he realizes that he needs Jesus tonight. And tonight was a beginning for him. The young lady comes from a totally different reservation. And I said, tell me what made you make this stand tonight? And she said, I have been so lost. I was so lost. And then it turns out she told me an awful story for being raped 5 weeks ago. And I said, what'd you tell Jesus tonight? She said, I asked him to forgive every sin and to heal me. And I said, do you know how valuable you are? She said, maybe sometimes. And I said, well, you can tell how valuable God thinks you are by how much he spent on you. And he spent his son on you. So from now on, when you wonder what you are worth, I said, you look at that cross and say, that's how much I'm worth. I said, don't you ever forget that. The young man who a few weeks ago tried to hang himself and someone intervened literally in the middle of the suicide and stopped him and literally held him up. And tonight, after a very hard battle, a lot of our, even some of our leaders here have fought for this young man. Satan tried to ambush him from coming because they stayed in a hotel the night before by the airport and he got drunk. And they almost had to leave him home because of that. But it worked out for him still to come. And tonight the young man who tried to die gave his life to Christ. Thank God he kept him alive. The stories go on. It's just miracle after miracle. This is not like church camp necessarily. Church camp, thank God for church camp. But this is anything but church camp, this crowd. And I would ask your listeners to not stop praying now. First of all, if you have been praying, we have seen the answers to your prayers tonight. New hope stories were born here tonight. And based on my experience every year, some of these young men and women discovering Christ tonight for the first time will be tomorrow's warriors on the On Eagle's Wings team. Because those who are leading people to Christ tonight were at a night like this led to Christ by a team member, and so it continues. As this breakthrough moment in Native America continues to spread. So a lot began here tonight, but you must continue to pray. And if you haven't, start now, because I can only be sure the battle is still raging in many hearts as the enemy does everything he can to drown out the voice of Jesus, the message of the cross, and a risen Christ. And so the battle will continue all week. And there are leaders tonight who are probably brokenhearted almost because someone they've been praying for hasn't come yet. Operative word. And so pray them home. How wonderful it would be if the miracle take place that no one left here lost. No one left here lost, because we know what they go back to. And they could be lost forever. So we fight for them. And tomorrow, the same on Eagles Wings team is going to put on a special battle council. We have a number of battle councils that deal with the issues that are crushing Native American young people. And tomorrow we're doing what we call a Great Start Party, led by them, where they're going to share the secrets of a great relationship with God. Now that you've begun it, and everyone here was invited to it, now you've begun the relationship, they're going to share from their own experience how to make it a great relationship with their Creator, where to go from here. And so we hope to get them off to a great start within the early hours of their relationship with Jesus. Tonight was a demonstration of nothing more and less than the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it was all about the cross. And Charles Spurgeon said, the cross is God's magnificent magnet. Or in the words of the Master himself, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. This he spoke, signifying what death he would die. And speaking of his cross, he said it would be the magnet. And tonight that magnet has changed eternities. And I was able to tell that young lady who thought she was so lost, I said, you are found tonight. And many Native Americans found their Savior tonight. They're not lost anymore. As Jesus carries them home on his shoulders and says, my sheep that was lost, it's found. Happened here.